Many of you recognize our guest, Juliette Huddy.
Juliette Huddy.
Juliette Huddy.
She's a well-known national television news anchor and personality.
I'm Juliette Huddy. You may know me from television. Professionally, I always felt a little restrained. The thing is, I'm anything but conservative, as you would expect someone who works at Fox News to be. I've been married a few times. My husband's a rocker. We don't have kids. All the money that we save on not having kids, we spend on travel, and I've met so many incredible people along the way. They're provocative, controversial, brilliant, and you'll meet them all. Get ready to experience things you've never experienced, never expected either, on Juliet Unexpected. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Juliet Unexpected, and I'm Juliet. If you are not familiar with my voice, joining me today, this is such a cool thing. Well, let me back up. First of all, I don't know how long ago it was. A couple years ago on Twitter, I get followed, I noticed, or a message from this girl, Christy Ling. Now, Christy Ling Spencer. Christy and I knew each other eons ago back in, what year was it? So it would have been 1995, four?
About then, yeah.
Yeah, you were working in sales at a TV station in Oxnard, California. What a lovely experience that was. That was a station that my parents owned. God help us all. That was a whole nother nightmare. We could talk about that another time, maybe with drinks afterwards. But you were working there. We were friends. And then life went on. We went different routes, different paths. But all of a sudden, here we are talking, and then you're pitching me. You're like, oh, I'm an author. And I'm like, totally hooked up in this world. I'm going, oh my God, this is incredible. So it's really good to have you here, Christy Ling Spencer, now. And also Thank joining you. Us is her co-author. Is that the correct way to introduce you? Co-author?
Absolutely. We are co-authors.
Susan Wilking Horan. And it's so good to have you guys both here. So the reason that, well, first of all, there's so many things to talk about. But I'm looking at this beautiful book, and I like the way you described it, Christy, because you brought it and you were like, it's just a beautiful book and I want you to be able to handle it. It is a really beautiful book. It's Betty Boop's Guide to a Bold and Balanced Life. Now, when I first heard about this, I thought, what? Okay, how is this going to be relevant to today's society? And then, of course, all I had to do is just read a little bit, and now I'm completely, I get it now, and it's probably... There's probably no better time that Betty Boop is being brought back, or Betty Boop's always been around, but being brought back in sort of the book form and sort of made in sort of a relative way with everything that's happening right now. Christy, I'm going to start with you. Give me a little scoop on what the book is all about.
Well, Susan and I have worked together. In addition to both being inspirational authors, we've worked together for a number of years on the marketing and branding for this character with Fleischer Studios. So we had that in common in addition to being writers. And a couple of years ago, we were sitting together just kind of brainstorming about how Betty has been such an inspirational character and a symbol of empowerment for women for so long. And wouldn't it be fun to take those concepts and some of the ahead of their time situations that she ran into in her early cartoons and put them into a book that can both inspire and also kind of poignantly show how relevant some of those things still are today. And so that's what we set out to do. And I think we pulled it off.
I think so too. Susan, give me a couple of the things that are relative today that were part of Betty Boop's world back when she first came out.
Oh gosh. Well, first of all, 2020 is Betty's 90th anniversary year. So she's been around for 90 years. And as Christy said, we've been working with Fleischer Studios for so long. My husband is Mark Fleischer. Now, Mark is the grandson of Max Fleischer, the creator of Betty Boop. So we have a long, long history in the world of animation.
Hence your interest in this project.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny because we first came up with this idea. We were actually working on a project for David Foster. Now, he's the wonderful composer.
Of course.
And he is working on the musical for Betty Boop, which we also hope is going to come out, or at least have tryouts this year.
Yeah, on Broadway.
On Broadway. Well, hopefully, I don't know if we'll make it to Broadway this year. If not this year, early next year. But we're working on that all the time. But David's this wonderful guy, and he loves Betty Boop. And so he always includes songs in his tours from Betty Boop. he wanted to have some cartoons showing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So we started going through all the old cartoons and we're pulling some for him to use in his tour on stage,
mm-hmm.
and realized there are so many fabulous lessons here. I mean, for example, one thing that a lot of people don't know about Betty is that in 1936 in Be Human, she was one of the first celebrities, animated or not, to stand up for animal rights and against animal abuse. So we have lessons like that. She's had to fight sexual harassment in the workplace. She's had to fight for equal pay, equal jobs. She's been faced with situations where she had to take care of family and friends and yet still try to have a career for herself.
Mm-hmm.
So there are so many different elements of Betty, things that she faced in all of her old cartoons, you know, that we're so familiar with, that we grew up with. Well, my husband grew up with
them. Well, we all grew
exactly.
up with. I mean,
we all did.
To a certain age. Really?
To a certain age, yeah.
Well, I've got to ask you, and so this is, and I hope this is not an offensive question because I don't mean it to be that way. There were some of the Gen Xers in the studio earlier, and I was talking about you guys coming in, and one of them was like, Betty Boop. And he's like, I mean, you know that I'm only, and I go, well, yeah, but I was only X amount of year. When I heard about Betty Boop, I was like, can you educate yourself, bud? But be that as it may, will it be difficult for you, or is it challenging for you to try to introduce this character to a whole new group of people, or is that why this is so relevant right now?
No. The answer is no. And Christine, I can tell you right away, we do licensing and merchandising of all kinds mm-hmm. of Betty products in 70 countries around the world. And some of our biggest audiences now, the demographics now are going younger. And younger, we have wonderful clothing lines coming out, for example, with Betty, that speak directly to that generation, right, Christy?
She is gaining, I mean, not only her loyal fans, like the people who grew up with her watching those classic cartoons, mm-hmm. but like new generations, almost like a hip and trendy cult following.
There's, can you do me a favor for the Gen Yers and Gen Whoever's and you know, X's and P's.
Our millennials and
yeah, so whatever they're called now, the ones who are about to be born. Can you explain who Betty Boop was? What was Betty Boop? Who is she?
Well, Betty Boop began in the mind of a man, an animator, a pioneer in the field of animation, actually, Max Fleischer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Max was my husband's grandfather, and he created many cartoon characters. One of them was Betty Boop. And she actually hit the stage in 1930. She began as a kind of canine character, as you know. Her features were always recognizable, however, because she began singing on stage in 1930 in a nightclub that was run by a dog. And it was frequented by all these really surreal animal characters. And as time went on, as the years went by, first year, second year, she became more human-like in her features, for example.
And more popular.
And very, very
tremendously popular because she was so cutting edge and ahead of her time, flirty and fun and not afraid to just be herself and be so expressive. And women were really inspired by that.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, who did that resonate with? Women?
Well, everyone. Betty was so popular with everyone. And as she evolved, you know, for example, her little ears that mm-hmm. were Cocker Spaniel ears at one time turned into her signature earrings.
I never knew that, actually. I never knew that there was a development from the canine thing.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Fairly quickly, I think. And then she was Betty, Betty as we know her, for most all of her time that she's existed. And
she was very popular because the age, remember, was the jazz age.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty hit the stage. She was singing and dancing from the very beginning. And Betty is famous for having performed with Cab Calloway and Don Redman.
Minnie the Moocher.
Minnie the Moocher. Ethel Merman. Louis Armstrong, and everyone loved it. Jazz was hip, and Betty was right at the forefront of that, and everyone loved Betty.
And she ruffled feathers, which I think resonated with a lot of people, and also didn't sit well with a few people as well. They tried to kind of keep Betty small and tell her to lengthen her skirt and all these things, and that kept her sort of at the forefront of topics of conversation.
Well, that actually came in. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That came in 1930 with a little thing called the Hays Code. And what the Hays Code did is it was a government regulation that wanted to, quote, clean up the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
It was. And Christie's right. Betty was forced to lengthen her skirt.
But she
still makes me think of my days at Fox News. I'm like, man, we needed the Hays Code back then.
Betty would have fit right in, huh?
I know.
That's great. But you know what's interesting is she still remained non-apologetic about her femininity and her flirtatiousness. And also, she had jobs and careers, and she did all of these things that some women back in that day just fantasized about. She even ran for president, which, you know, women in politics back then was like, you don't even imagine that. But still today we have this conversation of we don't have enough women represented in our political scenes. So I think all of that still really ties into what we're talking about today. So this is why she's been sort of a symbol of, like, I mean, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, just consistency.
Like a diva.
Basically.
Like, yeah.
Diva.
You know?
Like a fierce. She was the definition of fierce before Beyonce and you know, the Real Housewives of Atlanta started, you know, using that word and overusing it.
Absolutely.
Juliet, she is a trailblazer.
Yes.
She always has been, and she still is. Remember, women didn't get the vote until 1920 with the 19th Amendment. And in 1932... Betty was not satisfied with that. She wanted to run for president. And I think she is the only female character that ever actually ran a campaign for president, whether it was in real life or whether it was animation or on the screen or on the stage. And she did that in part because she felt that this is what she said. She said, I can do anything a man can do. Don't be a poop. Vote for Boop.
So funny.
I mean, that's perfect.
That the kind of inspirational stuff that we're going to get in this Betty Boop's Guide to a Bold and Balanced Life? I mean, it says fun, fierce, fabulous advice. So give me some examples of some of the fun, fierce, fabulous advice. I guess it's directed mainly towards, is it directed towards women specifically?
It's directed
yes.
towards women, but I think it'll resonate with anybody who is a fan or just learning about the character or who just wants to have something lighthearted and fun. You know, we took the sort of concept of self-help, but then tied it in with an animated character, mm-hmm. which is something really unusual. And I think it came together beautifully. And the idea that it's fun, fierce, fabulous advice inspired by the animated icon. So it's still coming from the authors, but it's all inspired by Betty and her coolness and all of the stuff that makes her still relevant. And yes, we talk about all those topics and we relate them to situations that women in particular, but anybody might face today.
Okay, so I will bring up something obviously that has been personal to me with the Me Too sexual harassment in the workplace, that realm. How do you attack that? How is Betty involved in that? I mean, I know you mentioned something about she had been sexually harassed at, you know, back in the day with whatever job she was doing at the time. But so how does that transfer to the book?
Well, first of all, the cartoon. In 1934, Betty was in a cartoon, and it was a boop, boop, a doop. And she was being sexually harassed by her boss. Now, she had to deal with that in the cartoon, and that was the lesson she had to learn. How does she deal with it? But we take that, 1934, and we jump ahead almost 90 years, and we still have the same thing happening to lots of women in the workplace. So what we've done is we mention the cartoon. We describe what Betty went through so long ago, and we tie it into today and say, this is exactly what so many women are still facing today. And these are the things you need to know, because protecting yourself in the workplace today is a skill that's essential. And then we go ahead, and if for that particular section, we will say inspiration from Betty, know how to protect yourself and what to do in case.
And there's tips, actually, in there.
And
so we have bullet-pointed tips throughout the book.
And then we go through a series of bullet points that resonate with women today, exactly how to handle the situation and what you need to do.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, this is... See, the thing that I love about this is that it is very relatable and it is very current. This is the kind of stuff that I think is going to be, I think it's very effective. And it's also fantastic that there's this talk now, apparently, of the Broadway thing. This just brings it full circle 90 years later, which is also another really cool milestone.
Right, yeah.
So how did you guys meet up? How did you guys get together?
Well, okay, about 20 years ago, my husband and I, Mark and I, really took over Fleischer Studios. Now, that is our family-owned company, and that is the company that still handles the rights to all these cartoon characters and oversees all the licensing and merchandising and all of that. So we've been doing that for about 20 years, and now Christy has been our publicist at Fleischer Studios for, gosh, how long, Christy? 15 years?
I think it's 18 now. Yes.
How did you go from being a salesperson at KADY TV, you poor thing, to being a publicist? Well, anyway, we can talk about that afterwards.
Those were the early days. But, you know, I did work in the news department with you for a little while, too.
Oh.
And that's kind of how I transitioned into media.
I wish I could say I remember that, but it was a long time ago. I don't remember where I parked my car this morning at the LIRR train station, frankly.
Well, it's been really fun, and we have a long history together. And so there are very few people, I would say they're in this room right now, who know more about Betty Boop than we do, and her evolution and her transitions through time, and the fact that she is so relevant, more relevant today than perhaps she was even 90 years ago, because we're taking all those lessons and saying, ladies, this is happening to you today, or this is happening, or that, or you have, or you're not confident, or you're not... you don't know how to find the right career or a love relationship or all these different things. This is what Betty did 90 years ago. The lessons stay the same. The fundamentals are the same. What she did is very much the way that women today have to handle their own situations.
Absolutely. And I sort of transition. I still work in PR and marketing and brand consulting, more like brand strategizing. But I also transitioned to writing and motivational speaking. I did a TEDx talk and I wrote a book about my own journey to expand happiness in my life called Operation Happiness. And
Do you have any tips? Any tips that you can throw out?
Quickly, the best one I can share is to think of happiness as a skill rather than something that you find or something that you try and achieve. It's actually a skill that you can practice and become good at.
I have to tell you, it's so weird that we're meeting right now. This is something that that I'll be talking about at length publicly soon, but I'm getting ready to launch, with the backing of 77 WABC and our new bosses, a kind of a project. And it really is very similar to what this is all about. But the funniest part about it is that I was inspired because of the fact that I had gone through all this crazy stuff with the Fox situation and then losing my career and then being attacked constantly on social media and by everybody from just the regular person walking down the street to the president and losing my home and all of this crazy stuff. And about a year ago, maybe a little more, my husband was saying, just randomly out of nowhere, just said, I got to tell you, babe, I am so effing proud of you. And it was the first time I ever was like, he said, look at what you went through. And he said, you are just killing it now. He's like, and I started thinking that was the moment really when I went, you know what? Yeah. I mean, I went through a lot, and even more, not even having to do with the Fox stuff and the O'Reilly and all this business. I went through so much other stuff, too. You even know some of the people that were involved in some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know. But it's like you kind of can choose to be happy. It's just you have to make the decision. You have to have your epiphany, and you have to realize you can get through this stuff. You will get through this stuff. So this is it's just interesting that we're all meeting right now.
I love it. And that is right. And you can choose it and then practice it every day. And it becomes, you become good at it like a skill. And Susan had also been through a tremendous ordeal several times. She's a 3-time cancer survivor and had written books on that. And this is what brought us together to say, how do we take all of this experience that we've had and do this with what we've done with Betty Boop's book here?
Yeah. So it's wonderful. I mean, we both have a lot of experience as writers. So to take that skill and marry it with this cartoon character and what we know about Betty Boop and her evolution and how important it can be for women today who, like you, like Christy, like me, we're all facing so many issues. Everyone has something.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we can help each other. I really want women to know that they're not alone out there, that there are very distinct ways that you can move through your problems, move through the obstacles, jump over the hurdles, you know, wade through the mud, and that you're not alone, and that we all face this together. And this is what, you know, what I love about this book, what I love about animation is, remember, comedy for thousands of years has always been used to convey some of the most important messages of our culture.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Comedy.
Entertainment. Cartoons,
yes,
animation.
Cartoons,
yes.
Comic strips, comic books, animated characters. They deliver very important, valuable, timely messages with humor, which is what I love about this book.
And this book does it in such a fun and stylish and lighthearted, non-preachy way. It's like sitting down with some girlfriends and just getting some great advice.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. So that's kind of what led to my next question. What it was going to be, and again, I say this, but I'm in the same position. There will be people out there that say, well, these women don't have psychology degrees. I mean, maybe you do. I don't know. Or psychiatry degrees or therapy. So do you?
I do, actually.
Okay. All right, forget it. Well, that applies to me then, I guess. No, but it's, you know, I'm sure there are going to be people with me, with what I'm calling it, the Epiphany Project, and we need to talk, but that are saying, well, hey, what is she? So she's been through some stuff, and now she thinks she's an expert at this. But it's exactly what you just said. It's like sitting around. We have been through these things. We do know what we're talking about. We've seen, we've learned, we have experience, we've learned our lessons, and now we've learned when we apply them, they either work or they don't work.
Yes. Yeah. And what's that famous proverb that you love, to know the road ahead?
Yeah, the Chinese proverb. To know the road ahead, ask those coming back.
Oh.
Right?
Amen.
Yes. So that's what it's all about, you know, and if everybody shared their story who had been through these, you know, these horrible things, they would let other people know they're not alone.
And it's sometimes it's easier to sit with a stranger and hear their story as opposed to sitting with your girlfriends.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's
so
personal. It's a little bit more, you feel that you're getting a fresh perspective and an objective perspective, mm-hmm. as opposed to words coming from a person who's may have an agenda or who has seen things. And so that's definitely
right.
That's definitely a big part of
and
it.
And it's non-judgmental.
Exactly.
You know,
but
yeah.
You know what we also do in this book, and I think this is very important. We're not just giving some cute, lighthearted tips or advice. We're helping convey some very timely and important and valuable information. For example, in the book, when we talk about sexual harassment, I also have a law degree. We go by the law. We go by the rule. We, throughout the book, are constantly quoting scientific studies and other people who support this. And as you said, psychiatrists or psychologists or other experts in the field who believe a certain way. And then we tie all of those things from today, mm-hmm. that's so timely today, in with Betty, pull it all together, set up some bullet points, let everyone take a look at it. But we're not just throwing stuff out and we're not making it up as we go along.
Right. Yeah.
We've really put a lot of research into this book.
Clearly. And I'm so proud. Well, I'm so proud of Christy just because she's my, you know, from back in the day, but
this is
really wonderful.
Thank
I
you.
Really, really like this. And you two guys, you make a great team. You really do.
We
and
do.
I know that you've got a third member of the team sitting over here.
This is our silent partner.
I mean, I want to keep the focus on the ladies, but you know, hubby is definitely. He's definitely an important part of this team, clearly.
For any animation buffs listening, I do want to just give a shout out that Mark Fleischer is in the studio with us, grandson of Max Fleischer.
And are you creative like your grandfather?
I consider myself creative.
Considers himself creative. Well, that's all we need to do.
He is absolutely creative. Yes, he is.
Well, you guys, it's really wonderful to have you here. And again, the book is called Betty Boop's Guide to a Bold and Balanced Life. fun, fierce, fabulous advice inspired by the animated icon, but also inspired by your experiences, Susan and Christy, and just life experiences. And also, but so relevant for today, which I'm excited to read the book. And again, it is a very, very nice hard copy that I have.
Isn't it pretty?
It's very, very cute.
It's a pretty book.
And forward by Zach Posen.
Yeah,
I mean, you guys are connected, man. Your husband works at NASA. I mean,
did you see the quote on the back from David Foster? It's a beautiful quote.
Where is it? Hold on a second.
It's right here. Juliet.
I will do my best David Foster impression. Betty Boop embodies the universal themes of love, courage, independence, and hope. It's all positive and empowering, and I think the whole world could use a little Betty Boop right now. David Foster, renowned musician and composer, and engaged to Catherine McPhee.
Married.
I think
they're married.
They got married.
Congratulations.
They got married, and Zach Posen designed her wedding dress.
Oh, it's all so incestuous here, you guys. I have to say, it's funny because when she finished up American Idol, I had just launched a syndicated talk show, The Morning Show with Mike and Juliet. She was one of my first guests, and we did this whole thing. I don't think we even launched at that point. I think it was the week before, and we did this thing where I took her around New York City and we hit the clubs and parties and stuff like that. So I'm happy to see that she's doing so well.
Isn't she wonderful?
She's beautiful, and she's very, very charming.
And she's
very
cool. So talented.
Her
and
singing
I'm so
voice.
Yeah, she's
unreal.
Amazing. So my dad is madly in love with her, which I probably shouldn't even mention because he's, you know, anyway.
Oh, she's lovely. Oh, yeah,
but anyway, we're very great to have the support. Yeah, we're so happy.
To have that support,
and
we're so happy to be involved with them. And we're so happy that Zach has been a Fleischer fan for many, many years. He grew up watching Betty Boop cartoons with his father.
He kind of has a little bit of the Betty Boop type of vibe going on, right?
The curls. And
he's very handsome.
And we have a fabulous image in the book, animated image of Zach and Betty. I mean, the book is also filled with wonderful images. I mean, we've taken some from the old cartoons, old black and whites, and then we've combined them with some of the new material we have.
Yes, I mean, she's a style icon,
Yes, of course
we had to include that in
the
book.
Yes, of course, and Zach Posen doing the foreword, obviously.
Yes.
You guys, great to see you. Great meeting you.
Great meeting you as well.
Great meeting you.
And this is wonderful, and I hope that we stay in touch, and maybe we can collaborate on some things.
Thank you
so much for
having us.
My pleasure.
Oh,
and it's so great to see you.
And it's wonderful to see you, and we'll talk off air. But where can we find more information about both of you and whatever kind of contact information you'd like to give? Please do it right now.
Well, first of all, the book will be launched tomorrow.
Okay.
So
this is going to be posting next week. So we'll cut this part out. I'll say that it's already out.
We can back up a little bit.
Book is out. And you guys can go get it where?
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble.
Anywhere books are sold.
Anywhere books are sold.
This is a good coffee table book, I have to say.
It's
pretty. It should be on our ottomans and coffee
tables. It's a great gift book as well.
Galentine's
Day is coming up.
Yes.
And you can find more at BettyBoop.com as well. There's a whole blog post there with all the scoop and all the links to where you can buy the book. So,
and if they want to find you guys specifically?
We are right in the book.
Okay, good.
And we're all over Betty's social media platforms, and of course, Christy Link Spencer, Susan Wilking Horan.
Yep, and Susan as well. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
All right, perfect. I'm at Juliet Huddy TV Twitter, even though I'm not in television anymore. And you can also find me Monday through Friday on the Curtis and Juliet Show on 77 WABC. You can download our app, 77 WABC. That's the way everybody's doing everything now. I mean, people are moving away from the radio. They're downloading apps and they're listening to stuff on apps and they're watching stuff on apps. So make sure you do that. You can follow us on the Curtis and Juliet Facebook page as well. Guys, great to see you. Great meeting you. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Again.
That was so much fun. Thanks, Juliet.